I want to begin by quoting to you something that our friend J.C. Ryle once said. Let me quote it to you. Something that he once said about Christ's second coming. He said, "Live as you thought that Christ might come back at any time. Do everything as if you did it for the last time. Say everything as if you said it for the last time. Read every chapter in the Bible as if you did not know whether you would be allowed to read it again. Pray every prayer as if you felt it might be your last opportunity. Hear every sermon as if you were hearing once and forever. This is the way to be found ready. This is the way to turn Christ's second appearing to good account. This, he says, is the way to put on the whole armor of God." Now, friends, I grant to you this is a high, high bar that Bishop Ryle presents to us here. The mark is high. High standards, a very, very high bar. And I don't know how long you and I will take before we reach that high bar. But in many ways, what Bishop Ryle is really saying is, live your Christian life as you ought to live it every day. Live for Christ. Live your Christianity as you ought to live your Christianity every day. That's really what Bishop Ryle is saying here. Now, I don't need to tell you here, friends, tonight in party, not everybody is living as though Christ is going to return a second time to bring history to a close. We hear that in the light of the many things people said even during the course of the week. And the warning that Christ actually gives in these words that we read here in the Gospel of Luke, it reflects how things are going to be when he comes back a second time to bring history to a close. Now, if anything, it shows us how unready and how unprepared the world out there is going to be. Very unready and very unprepared for the second appearance of Christ. And yet, whether we're converted or unconverted here this evening, it doesn't really matter. This message is to us as well. It's a chilling message. Remember Lot's wife. Now, friends, this solemn, chilling message is more solemn when we think of who our Lord is addressing here. Now, it would have been fitting if our Lord was addressing the counterfeits of the day, if he had been addressing the scribes and the Sadducees and the Pharisees and all these priests who claimed to know the law of God. But he wasn't actually speaking to any of these. He was actually speaking here to Peter, James, and John, disciples, believers, true Christians, those who made a public profession of him in his own day. These were the people he was addressing here. Remember, he tells them, Lot's wife. Remember Lot's wife. He brings before them here a woman who made a public profession of her faith. At least she did for a long time before she eventually throws her public profession, the profession of her religion, to the four winds. Now, I say this with all due respect. She's like many people in our day. She wanted the best of both worlds. She wanted, on one hand, religion and Christianity and the church and the gospel. But that's not where it ended. She also, on the other hand, wanted the leisures and the pleasures of life. She wanted the world, the enjoyment of the world, on the other hand. Sinful pleasures and amusements. The Think of it. A relationship with Christ and a relationship with God. Along with a relationship with the world out there and all its sins and all its amusements. Now, I need to tell you here today, friends, tonight and partly, that will never do. We can't live a relationship with God and, on the other hand, have a relationship with the world out there. There's a severing. Listen to what the scripture says. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. God's command is clear here, isn't it? Come out of the world. Lay not hold of the sins of the world. You have to throw them to the four winds. Come out from the world and be ye separate. It's interesting. One theologian, he reminds us that serving sin, he says, has consequences. He says, sinful and forbidden pleasures are like poisoned bread. They may satisfy appetite for one moment, but there is death in them at the very end. All sins are rooted in the love of pleasure. Therefore, be watchful. Lot's wife wasn't watchful because she looked in the wrong place. This afternoon, as I was reflecting on this, I recalled what a minister in your own presbytery once said in one of the congregations he was in. And it's a true story of a professing elder who was seen going into a public bar. But little did he know that there was somebody observing him, another Christian in the congregation. And she noticed him before going into the bar, looking round, conscious that he was looking to see if anyone was watching. They met up a few days later and she put his hand on his shoulder. You looked the other day to see if anyone was looking around you as you entered into the bar. Maybe if you had looked up, you wouldn't have gone in the first place. If he had been looking to God. You see, this woman wasn't looking to God. And she suffered the consequences, unimaginable eternal consequences, as we'll see. Firstly, remember Lot's wife. Remember Lot's wife. Now, in asking us to remember Lot's wife, notice here with me what our Lord is also saying. He's saying, don't forget her. Don't forget what happened to her. Our Lord here is placing an emphasis on the tragedy that took place in her life. And he said, make sure that the tragedy that happened to her doesn't happen to you. May her name forever be recorded in the archives of your memory. Now, it would have been right and proper if our Lord had said here, to remember maybe one of the Christians in Scripture. Remember Abraham, the father of the faithful. Remember Isaac, or Jacob, or Joseph. Remember one of the Old Testament prophets, a genuine prophet called of the Lord. Remember the Apostle Paul, or Peter, or James, or John, or Hannah, or Sarah. But he doesn't ask us. It's not strange that the Lord asks us here to remember the name of somebody who wasn't a Christian. Somebody who wasn't a Christian. What does this tell us? What it's telling us, friends, is don't forget it. Don't forget this incident that we have here that's recorded for our benefit in the New Testament, in the Gospel of Luke. Now, what do we know about this woman? What do we know about Lot's wife? Now, firstly, she was a woman of religious privileges. She was married to a family one of the families on earth that was serving a God, the one living and true God. And Abraham was her uncle, a man who was called a friend of God. You see, Mrs. Lot, if we can call it, Lot's wife, knew that Abraham was a friend of God, because she saw it in his life. She saw it in his witness. She saw his form of worship. She saw his altars. She saw his faithfulness. She saw his godliness. You see, Abraham's life reflected that he was a genuine and a faithful a believer. It was evident for Lot's wife. It was evident for her to see. Now, I don't want this evening to focus on Lot himself. But we can't really ignore Lot, because Lot was her husband. Lot was her husband. And there are certain things that we have to say here about Lot. Peter tells us that Lot was a righteous man. Now, if it wasn't for the fact that it's recorded in the New Testament that Lot was a righteous man, we would all be scratching our head and wondering what kind of a man was Lot, when he seemed to be so inconsistent in so many things regarding his Christianity. It's interesting what the name Lot means. Listen to what it means. It means wrapped up, hidden, covered. In other words, he hid, he covered, he concealed his Christian testimony. What a tragedy. He claimed to be a Christian, but he didn't live up to the name that he had. Lot wasn't blind to the fact that Sodom and Gomorrah were sin-sick places. He knew that. He knew that the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. Now, you would think that would put him off from going into Sodom. You'd think that he would reflect on the kind of place that Sodom and Gomorrah were and say, well, that's not a place for a Christian. That's not a place where a believer should go and live. You know yourselves the what had happened between his herdsmen and Abraham's herdsmen. They squabbled, there was bickering between them, and they fell out. And Abraham was a wise and a meeker man. And one day he took Lot aside. And listen, this can't carry on. This be bickering and squabbling between the herdsmen and between us. This can't carry on. You choose. We've got to separate. You choose where you want to go. Oh, he chose. He saw the lush fields of Sodom, and that's where he wanted to go. He looked in the wrong place, and there was consequences in the looking. You see, remember, Abraham made the choice of going into the mountains, into another place far away from where Lot decided to go. Isn't that sad what we find happening before us here? His heart, if we can say, was in Sodom long before he took his body there. You know this, friends, there were repercussions. There were repercussions of unimaginable travesty. Let's look at them. Firstly, we read that he pitched his tent toward Sodom. Now, notice, he wasn't in the city, but he pitched his own tent toward Sodom, not far away from it. One of the Bible writers, he says that Sodom's walls without God are far less safe than a frail tent where God is a wall of fire around it. The tent was facing towards Sodom, and before he knew it, we read that he was sitting in the gate of Sodom. He was eventually dwelling in Sodom. What was Sodom like? The men of Sodom, we read, as I said, were wicked and sinners against the Lord exceedingly. He finds himself eventually not only in the city at the gate, but a mayor. He was the mayor of the city, involved in the various transactions that took place there day after day. Isn't that incredible? It doesn't end there either. You know, friends, when we look to the right, to the wrong place, other people sometimes get hurt. That's true in the church as well. Members who profess faith, they make wrong choices, and they bring shame upon the cause of Christ. The minister gets hurt. The elder gets hurt. Deacons get hurt. Other people in the church get hurt. So does the world. Adherents. What kind of a Christian was he in the first place when he did that? That's the spirit that we have here. Look at the number of people who got hurt as a result of him making a wrong choice. His daughters got hurt. You see, they didn't take him seriously. He wasn't exactly, if we can say, a model dad. His life didn't live up to the profession that he made. So he didn't manage to persuade them to leave Sodom. We read that it was the angelic host, eventually, who constrained them to leave. Isn't that sad? It was the angelic host that brought his daughters out of that place. His sons-in-law got hurt. You see, they didn't take their father-in-law seriously. They saw an inconsistency in his Christian profession. You see, and when Lot told them this city is going to be destroyed, God's judgment is going to fall, what do we read? He seemed to them as one that mocked. His wife got hurt. Who are you telling me to leave this city of destruction? You should preach to yourself first before you start preaching to me. It was you that made the choice to come to Sodom in the first place. You know, there's one thing sure this night. She wasn't in the Sodom Gospel Hall, because it's unlikely that there was a Gospel Hall in Sodom anyway, or reading a Bible commentary upstairs. No, friends, I put it to you that she was actually enjoying herself in this city. She was, as they say nowadays, having a whale of a time. What else do we find here? Well, Bishop Ryle says that she was a counterfeit. She was a counterfeit. This is what he says. The form of religion which she had was kept up for fashion's sake, and not from feeling. It was a cloak worn for the sake of pleasing her company, but not from any sense of its value. She did as others around her did in Lot's house. She conformed to her husband's ways. She made no opposition to his religion. She couldn't see him serious. She allowed herself to be passively towed along in his wake. But all this time her heart was wrong in the sight of God. The world was in her heart, and her heart was in the world. In this state she lived, and in this state she died. You know, friends, the Lord has no time for, if we can say, lean-to religion, half-hearted religion. Her heart was in the church, but most of her heart was in the world. Out there, taken up with the things of the here and now, the things of time and sense. Remember Lot's wife. Secondly, remember Lot's wife looked back. Now, friends, there's something here that we shouldn't overlook. We've got to focus here on who our Lord was actually addressing, who our Lord was speaking to about his second coming, and what he will find when he appears this second time. Notice here in verses, we're going to read them again, verses 26 to 30. What he will find, what our Lord will find. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. And the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. I've often thought in my mind of what it'll be like. Have you ever thought in your mind as to what it'll actually be like when our Lord returns a second time? Well, friends, if I can tell you here this night in parting, it will be just like any other day. The day of Christ's appearing will be as like any other day. Notice with me in Genesis chapter 19, verse 23. We see what the day was like when fire and brimstone was rained from heaven. Notice what we read. The sun was risen upon the earth. It was a glorious day. Just like this week, the sun was shining. The birds were chirping away. There was no cloud. We didn't see any clouds this week in the sky. No clouds on this day. And we read here then that suddenly, like a strike of lightning, it's going to be all over. Just like a strike of lightning. Genesis 19, verse 25. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the city and that which grew upon the ground. No preacher climbs the pulpit to frighten anyone. I don't come into any pulpit to frighten anyone. When Jonah went to Nineveh with his God-given message of judgment, he didn't go there to frighten anyone. He went there with the message that God gave him. Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. But in the grace and in the mercy of God, that fearful message of judgment was blessed to the people. And we read that from the king on the throne to the meanest citizen, they repented in sackcloth and in ashes. You know, if I can be for a few moments here graphic about what this day is going to be like. Just for a moment in the corner of your eye. Now, I did say there that this day will begin like any other normal day. The Queen Elizabeth Hospital, the Queen Elizabeth University Hospital and the Royal Infirmary down there, it'll be as busy as ever. People will be admitted for various illnesses, diseases, and people will be discharged as well. Babies will be born, it'll be a happy day for young couples. It will be also a sad day for other couples who have made a claim for a divorce. The undertakers that we saw down the road there in Partick on Dumbarton Road, they'll be as busy as ever doing what they're very good at, burying the dead. They'll be whisking away the mortal remains of somebody or other to the cemetery somewhere and burying them 6 feet under. Passengers from the cruise ship that docked at Greenock down and Glasgow here. There'll be disembarking and boarding, buying and selling the passengers on the markets of time, just as what passengers do on all cruise ships. There'll also be people from Renfrew, from Lanarkshire, from Glasgow, from the furthest points of Scotland, and they'll be buying their tickets, making sure their passport is in order to go on a sun, sea and sand holiday to the Caribbean or to the Mediterranean. The retail park there down at Crow Road, it'll be as busy as ever, people on buying, filling their shops, filling their trays, their trolleys at Sainsbury's and at Marks and Spencer's. And McDonald's will be as busy as ever, people buying their burgers and their chips. You know, leading up to this day, something else is going to be happening as well. The unchanging gospel message will still be preached in the highways and byways, in the outer hedges and the darker lanes of the city. The gospel will be proclaimed here, Partick, Thornwood Terrace. Same old gospel message, the unchanging gospel message. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Seek ye the Lord while he is to be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, for he will have mercy upon him and he will abundantly pardon. The day of the Lord is at hand, and as a destruction from the Almighty shall it come. People will still be laughing and jesting and jeering and joking, thinking it's a cheap joke. The man down on Byers Road the other day, it's all hairy, fairy nonsense. Not that long ago on the streets of Inverness, I was told, you know, people like you make me sick. I look forward to the day they bury you and all your Christian cronies. And I assured them, my dear friend, that day's not far away, when they'll be burying me and all my Christian cronies, if that's what you want to call them. But they'll never bury the truth. It'll go marching on. You know, they forget that Jesus, I say this with reverence, that he'll have the last laugh. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision, or shall scoff at them. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath, and vex them in his sore displeasure. All these things, my friends, will be happening when the Lord Jesus Christ returns a second time to bring history to a close. Over the last few years in the Highlands and Islands, NHS has been preparing for a certain event that was eventually to take place. And when that event that they were proposing took place, posters started appearing on all the NHS facilities in the Highlands and Islands. Rigmore Hospital, the dental clinics, the doctor clinics, all the other health centres under the NHS. And there were advertising on a poster, a nurse in a green costume, drawing a curtain. And under that picture were these words: smoking on all NHS grounds has drawn to a close. It's the same picture here. Evangelism, gospel preaching on all of God's grounds has drawn to a close. No more minister, no more Bible, no more grace, no more free offers of the gospel, no more pleading with sinners in the highways and byways or even in the churches. It'll be all over. People on the streets this week thought we weren't there when we were actually giving them gospel tracts. They saw us, but they blindly walked on. They'll be given eyes on that day. Every eye shall see him. Every eye shall see him. Every ear will hear him. Every tongue will confess that he's God. to the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember Lot's wife. Remember Lot's wife looked back. And remember Lot's wife became a pillar of salt. Where do we find Mrs. Lot in the midst of all that's happening here? What was her response? What was her response when she was told that this city was going to be under God's judgment? Flee for your life, she was told. Don't look back, or rest in the plain. You know, the first thing that we read here was that she was hesitant. She was hesitant. Not yet. Not quite yet. I'm not ready yet. She wasn't quite ready to let the world go. Sodom had such a grip on her. My friends, if you're unconverted here tonight, remember that the devil's calendar is always tomorrow. The devil's calendar is always tomorrow. Not yet. Tomorrow you've got plenty of time to do something about your salvation. Satan is the biggest liar on earth. He's the father of lies. When Scripture tells us that now is the accepted time. Today, if you hear my voice, harden not your heart. I don't know what Mrs. Lot is going to say to God on the day of judgment. I don't know. But one thing that I do know is that she won't turn round to God and say, well, I didn't know how to be saved. She won't say that. Because look, it's interesting here in Genesis chapter 19. We see as if it were four escape markers. Four escape markers. She knew the way of escape. Verse 17. Escape for thy life, look not behind thee. She knew the where of escape. Verse 17. Escape to the mountain, to Soar, to the mountain. She knew the why of escape. Verse 17. Lest thou be consumed. She also knew the when of escape. Arise. It was to be immediate. There was not going to be any delay. She was going to get up now, immediately, and do exactly what she was told. You know, these four, if we can say, escape markers are brought before us in the gospel. The way, the where, the why, and the when. The way, Jesus, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There is salvation in none other. There is no other name given under heaven amongst men by which we must be saved. That's the way. The where? Where? Via another mountain, via Calvary, where the blood of Christ cleanseth us from all sin. The why? Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. The when? No. Now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. You know, what a sad picture we see unfolding before us here. You know, Lot's wife, Mrs. Lot, died at the gate of mercy. She died at the gate of mercy. But she looked back, and we read that she became a pillar of salt. Despite the numerous warnings that these angels brought to her. They brought to her attention the urgency of it all. And when the morning arose, then the angel hastened Lot, saying, arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. She looked back. Her heart was in Sodom, and Sodom was in her heart. Just like Orpah. Remember when Orpah, she came to a crossroads. What are you going to do? Ruth made a wise choice, and she followed Naomi. Orpah looked back and she went back down to Moab, never to be heard of again. And that's what happened here as well. And scripture tells us that no man, having put his hand to the plough and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. You know, one commentator says that she only committed one sin. One sin. The sin of unbelief. She didn't believe what she was hearing from the messengers of God. She became deaf and dumb and went into eternity without hope. Except ye repent, ye will all likewise perish. You know, I've never been to Israel. I know some friends who have been to Israel, and they've told me they've been at the Dead Sea. And they tell me that it is a very barren wilderness. Nothing grows there. Whether it's true or not, they tell me that they didn't even hear the chirping of birds. That it's a desperately salt-stained rock places where nothing grows. There's no vegetation, nothing green. It's all a salty colour. Overlooking the Dead Sea, there's a mountain, and it's called Mount Sodom. We're told it's 700 feet above the Red Sea. And below Mount Sodom, it's probably an artifact. There's an artifact, and there's a pillar in a woman-like image. And there's an inscription on it. Here stands Lot's wife, a woman who looked back to Sodom and became a pillar of salt. Be warned, never look back. As I said, it might be an artifact. It probably is. But that pillar of salt is somewhere within the vicinity. We don't know where. But what we do know is when the Lord returns a second time, he knows where that pillar is. And on that day, Lot's wife is going to walk out of that pillar. She didn't look to him before, but she's going to look to him that day, and she'll see him as she's never seen him before, the Lord Jesus. And her deepest craving will be to return back to that pillar of salt from which she came from. I'm going to leave you with these solemn words written in poem form. Awake from thy slumber, the warning believe. 'Tis Jesus that calls you, the message receive. While dangers are pending, escape for thy life, and look not behind thee, remember Lot's wife. The ways of religion through pleasures afford. No pleasures can equal the joy of the Lord. Forsake then the world and escape for thy life, and look not behind thee, remember Lot's wife. But if you determine the call to refuse, and venture the way of destruction to choose, for hell you will part with the blessings of life, and then, if not now, you will remember Lot's wife. I hope, my dear friend, that you and I will be given the wisdom, that you and I have the wisdom to make choice of that one good portion that shall never be taken away from us. The world out there would have us believe very many things, as they were eating and drinking and having the world's motto over them over the last few days. Let us eat, drink and be merry, for tomorrow we die. And that's how they're living. And the sad reality is that's how they're dying as well. But I trust that the Lord will give us that grace to see who we truly are in the light of eternity. Sinners, lost, without hope, without God in this world. But we thank him that he's never turned anyone away at the door of mercy. Nobody. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you. May the Lord bless these thoughts to us. Let us pray.